Podcast, Midweek Edition.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One in 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Right, the boss is up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. Their odds against. Love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes. Listen on Audio Boom or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Hello and a warm welcome along to the midweek edition of The Punt. The Champions League and the Europa League return for the knockout stages this week, and we're taking a look at no fewer than six games across both competitions and trying to identify the best bets on those six matches coming up in the European competitions this week. Sam Norris here, joined on the podcast by Mark Walton to take a look at four games in the Champions League and two in the Europa League. How are you, Mark?
I am very well indeed, Sam. Always great, isn't it, when the knockout stages start in European competition. The Champions League, last 16 onwards, is always incredibly exciting.
Yeah.
Tense aggregate rules come into it, you know, away goals and all that. It's a great time of year. And we've got some real, real good sides in action over these next few days. I'm really looking forward to some of the games. Juve Tottenham could be very, very good. We've got Man City, who could go on a bit of a right at Basel if they look to their recent form. And then you've got the likes of Real Madrid against PSG. Two absolute European heavyweights coming head-to-head already in this stage of the competition. It should be good for a few weeks.
Yeah, it really should do. I love this time of year because it always sort of sneaks up on me, but in a nice way, because I kind of forget about the Champions League and then all of a sudden it's back. And as you say, we've got the next few weeks of some superb stuff. Plenty of British interest in both tournaments as well. We'll get stuck into the matches then with six of them to go through, beginning with Juventus taking on Spurs in what, as you rightly pointed out, could be one of the ties of the round. Even money about Juventus. The draw here is 9-4. Spurs in the betting at 130. By this stage of the season, usually Juventus have got Serie A tied up with a neat little bow, but that hasn't been the case this season. Napoli have, well, given them a challenge, and Napoli are actually leading the way in Serie A. So they've had a bit more of a fight on their hands on the domestic front than they've been accustomed to in the last few years, taking on a Spurs side who will be buoyed, of course, by victory in the North London Derby at the weekend. And second place in the Premier League is beginning to look potentially a realistic proposition again now, with Manchester United dropping points at the weekend. Both will obviously be very keen to do well in this competition. It's got all the makings of what could genuinely be one of the best ties of the round. And that's saying something, because there are some great matches.
Yes. Well, Spurs, obviously, very exciting attacking team at the moment, aren't they? They've got Harry Kane, of course, scoring goals left, right and centre. They're in fourth in the Premier League now, as you say, and probably trying to hunt down Manchester United in the second and guarantee themselves Champions League football as well for next season if they stay in that top four. But they go to Juventus, who, interestingly, haven't got Serie A tied up this year. Them and Napoli are miles clear of Inter, though, so they are going to finish in the top two. And they've really just stepped it up in the last few weeks. They're really starting to hit the gas at the right kind of time. They have won their last let's have a look. I can't count anymore. 2, 4, 6, 11 games. Straight wins. 11 straight wins coming into this. Absolutely flying. And it's the Juve of old as well. The Juve we've become accustomed to. They don't concede many goals. They win a lot of games to nil, particularly at home as well. They're unbeaten in their last 22 Champions League home games. They've kept 9 clean sheets in their last 13 home games in this competition. And their last home defeat came all the way back against Bayern all the way in 2013. You could almost write a set model with Juventus and just say, at home, they'll win to nil 9 times out of 10. Just back them to win to nil. And I think we might see similar here. I know Spurs are very good going forward and they've got the players to score goals, but I think that Juve defence is just too professional. And whilst Spurs, I'm not saying Juve will keep a clean sheet, it's not a kind of bet I like to have because one mistake and that bet is down.
Yeah.
But I do think we'll see very few goals here. I think it's an under 2.5 goals kind of game. Under 2.5 goals, by the way, 8-13. I think that's a perfectly good price, about something that I can see happening quite often. I think Spurs will be very happy to go there and get a draw, and they are playing well enough, I think, to go and try and get the draw there. And I think Juve would be relatively happy if they don't concede. So you could look at 0-0 here. might be quite drab to watch in the end, but I could see Juve just being that professional. They get to the they got to the final twice in the last 3 years in this competition. They just know how to keep it very tight at home and then try and get the tie won where they can. And I can see similar here. I think it'd be very low scoring. I think it'd be quite cagey at times. And I think Juve don't get beat here. That would be my overriding opinion. The one-all draw, by the way, is 6-1. The draw in the match is 9-4. I think that's very much worth an interest. And if you think you can put both of those two things together, under 2.5 goals and the draw is 11-4, that might tempt one or two people in. I think I'd probably just go with unders on the goals if I were to have a safe bet in this game at 8-13. But we should mention a few scorers as well here, shouldn't we? If there are going to be goals, how can we not talk about Harry Kane when we talk about Spurs? 100 Premier League goals before the weekend, wasn't it? And it's now 101 because he scored again in the North London Derby.
Not too often we see that kind of price about Harry Kane at any time as well at 6-4.
I think that's testament to the Juve defence here in this game. And Higuain as well, he's if you want a Juve goal scorer, he's in real fine form. 6 goals in his last 4 matches. 23-20 any time for him. He's going to be the focal point of the attack, him and Dybala. So I quite like the look of Higuain to score at 23-20. But in a game where I'm not sure there will actually be any goals, I can't really put up a goal scorer. Do you want bigger than the 8-13 I'm trying to put forward here, Sam?
No.
No?
Happy with that.
I think it's a safe bet under 2.5 goals. I can't see this getting goal crazy.
Yeah, given the way Juve operate at home, and as you rightly say, Spurs will definitely view this game as one to get through and give themselves a real chance of winning the tie at Wembley, which would work in the favour of that bet, I think. And as you say, Juve don't often ship too many at home. So under 2.5 in that match then, Juventus taking on Spurs. The other game coming up on Tuesday night also involves an English side. Manchester City travel to Basel. Basel are 7-1. The draw is 4-1. City priced up at 4-11. We've obviously spoke time and time again, or everyone who's been on this podcast has, about the attacking flair that Manchester City possess. We saw that in action at the weekend when putting 5 past Leicester City. And really, you don't like to say this at this stage of the Premier European club competition, but this is a bit of a mismatch.
It is. Cue exact opposite to what I just said for the last game. This is goals, goals, goals with one side that are far, far better than the other. It's actually the first competitive meeting between the two sides, so we can't go for recent form and say Man City. Yeah, are that much better. But Basel, let's face it, they've struggled in recent years. But I raised the question to you, Sam. Are Basel a better outfit now than we've ever seen before in the Champions League? Because they have won 4 of the last 5 Champions League games now, which is as many as their previous 22 games in the competition. And they've got a very good record against English clubs at home.
Yeah,
they've won 4 of the last 5 home games against English sides.
Okay.
So, should it be quite as lopsided as we think it will be?
I mean, they're probably better now because they're making it to the knockout stages. I can think, because they've faced Manchester United and Chelsea in the group stages before, haven't they? And obviously taken points off them, but off the top of my head, they wouldn't have been to the knockout stages too often in recent years.
No.
So maybe in that sense, they are getting a little bit better.
Yeah.
In Europe, anyway.
Yes, but they've never been past the last 16. They have reached the knockout stages recently, but never been past the last 16.
Okay.
Neither have City, actually, that often. City have only made it past the last 16 once, believe that or not. Mm. Last 7 seasons, they've been in the Champions League. Only past the last 16 once, and that was when they reached the semi-finals, knocked out by Real. But City are they're an absolutely inside-out team to what they have been, aren't they? I know they've won the league in recent seasons, but under Pep, who we know has got a great record in this as well. Pep's won this a couple of times with Barcelona, 2009 and 2011, and reached the semi-finals in 7 of his 8 previous seasons as manager.
Wow.
So City are going to get there towards the business end once again. It's a way of finding value on them, isn't it? They're 4-11. City on the double result. They've scored a lot of goals early on and late on in matches. So I can see them getting out the blocks quickly, really trying to take hold of this game as quickly as they can. And that's 5-6. So you're approaching even money for that. I think that's quite an interesting looking bet. And Sergio Aguero, of course, scored 4 at the weekend, didn't he? He's 4-5 to score any time.
Yeah.
Against what we're calling inferior opposition, the main striker being 4-5, you wouldn't get that all that often, I don't think.
No.
So, yeah, I quite like the look of that. I did look at Aguero to score any time in a City win, see if there was any more value there, but that's 19-20 versus 4-5 for him just to score any time. You're asking for one less thing to happen, and there's very little in the, in the price. So I'd probably play Aguero at 4-5 to score any time. I suppose you could be looking at the handicaps in this match, couldn't you? But they are quite short. City minus one is
5-6 City minus a goal, which is the same price as a double result. I suppose it's sort of, it depends which way you want to attack it, I guess.
Yeah.
minus 2, 11-5. I don't think they're too bad, those handicap prices.
But the City on the double result, they could win 1-0.
True.
And you'd still get paid out there if they score early.
Yeah, very true.
And then don't quite kick on, as you'd expect. And one thing, I don't know if the traders would price it up. If I was doing a hashtag your odds for this game, anybody wants to do that, hashtag your odds to at William Hill on Twitter, I would go something along the lines of Kevin De Bruyne, 2 assists, Aguero to score any time, and City to win, something like that.
Okay.
Because De Bruyne, again, was unbelievable on the weekend. What a player he is.
Yeah.
He has to be the best midfielder in the Premier League right now.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I think he looks a certainty for PFA Player of the Year already. I saw on the news a little bit earlier on, he's been mentioned in the Ballon d'Or discussion, granted by his manager, but still, he isn't too far away from that kind of level now.
Well, his manager knows plenty about that as well. He's coached Messi and such in the past. So.
And if he's to win things like that, he has to do it in this tournament as well.
Yes. Does he have enough goals in his game to try and put him up as a goal scorer? Because he is 19-10 scoring time. Mm. And against a team like Basel, if they are going to run a little bit of right, he could pop up, breaking into the box. One player I wouldn't be backing, despite his very good record in the Champions League, is Raheem Sterling at 19-20 to score any time. Not for me, not after that miss the other week.
No, it was an absolute sitter, wasn't it?
Yeah. But yeah, I think there's the usual ways in with City. You go for the goal scorers, the obvious goal scorers. You go for goals. I mean, what about City and over 2.5 goals in the game? What price have we got for that? Man City to win and over 2.5 goals, 8-11. Don't mind that.
Yeah.
But I think I'd rather just play Aguero 4-5.
Okay. Manchester City then likely to get the job done there against Basel. Let's move on to some of Wednesday night's matches. We start in Portugal with Porto taking on Liverpool. 21-10 the price of Porto here. 5-2 the draw. 13-10 for Liverpool. Porto currently top of the Primeira Liga. They're a couple of points clear of Benfica with a game in hand as well. So things going well for them on the domestic front. Liverpool closed the gap to Manchester United at the weekend with a professional performance against Southampton to get the job done. Things with Liverpool this season, Mark, I was about to say that this looks a winnable game for them. It looks a winnable tie, which it does. But we've said plenty of times this season, this looks a winnable game for Liverpool, and they've failed to win very winnable-looking games on paper. It's been feast or famine with Liverpool this season. They've either looked really, really good or very average and dropped points in some silly games. And this is a game that I think they are worthy favourites for and should really, I think, if not winning this game, be getting through this tie. This is a nice draw for Liverpool, but you've always got that worry with them.
You do. That's the trouble with Liverpool. You don't know quite which Liverpool is going to take. The Jekyll and Hyde of football, aren't they? I mean, we saw them against Man City, looked breathtaking. We saw them against Spurs, and it was only a mad last few minutes that probably stopped them winning that game. But then we've seen them lose to West Brom. We've seen them lose to Swansea. So what do you make of Liverpool? I think that sometimes they just take their eye off the ball a little bit in the Premier League against the weaker sides. But they haven't done that in the Champions League this season. We saw them earlier on go to Spartak Moscow in the group stages and won 7-0. Mm. That's the kind of thing you want to be seeing from Liverpool. You want them to be ruthless, don't you? And you want them to completely outclass teams. They did the same at Maribor. They beat them 3-0 very comfortably. They won away at Maribor 7-0. They scored a lot of goals. They're almost on the verge of setting a record in the group stages. They got 23 goals in the group stages. Only PSG scored more with 25. And PSG set a new record for goal scoring in the group stages. Mm. So you can see how well Liverpool have been going forward, admittedly against pretty weak opposition in some cases. But now they're in the groups, now they're in the knockout stages, they won't take their eye off the ball anymore, I don't think. I think they will win this game. Or they won't lose this game, I should probably say. They've got a very good head-to-head record against Porto. They're unbeaten in 4 meetings against them. But both matches in Portugal did finish as draws, which I think we may see possibly similar of on Wednesday night. They haven't met in knockout stages of competition before in European competition. That was when the Europa League used to be the UEFA Cup, and Liverpool won 2-0 on aggregate on that occasion. That's many years ago, though, so I suppose you take that with a pinch of salt. But what I'm trying to get at is that Porto haven't had much success against Liverpool. And interestingly as well, it kind of sums up Liverpool and it sums up Porto in recent years, that these are two sides that won the tournament pretty recently, 2004 for Porto, 2005 for Liverpool, and then missed the competition for a number of years. It's one of those funny things in football, I suppose. But one thing I do think we'll see here is goals. Only the Parc des Princes has seen more goals in the competition this season than Dragao, which is where Porto play, of course. There's been 15 goals when Porto played at home in the Champions League this season. And we've seen Liverpool going forward in this competition, in the Premier League. They do score goals. Defensively, they're quite weak as well. On occasion, their goalkeeper seems to be a problem for them still. Which one do they play? Doesn't matter, they both make mistakes. The defence has holes in it at times. So I think we can look at over 2.5 goals, which the traders are onto, which is 7-10. 2-1 for over 3.5 goals. I suppose you'd have to play that, wouldn't you?
I wouldn't be against that though. Over 3.5 at 2-1. Even if over 2.5 was a more attractive price, I still think I'd rather play over 3.5 because I think there'll be plenty of goals here as well. Albeit that Porto are a side a little bit like Juventus that domestically we associate them with being very, very good at home. And restricting teams at home. But the last two home defeats have come in this competition. One at the hands of Juventus. But Beşiktaş came here and beat them a couple of years ago. So you'd like to fancy that this Liverpool side has got a real chance of scoring some goals. I'd probably rather play the over 3.5 anyway. I mean, it's a bigger price, of course. But
we've actually got enhanced odds on that. On Liverpool side of it. Liverpool to score 3 or more goals in the match. Was 7-2. It's now 4-1. I don't mind that. That's all right. If you're looking for a Porto pro bet in there, Vincent Abubakar to score and Porto to win was 130. That's 4-1. He's got a fine record in the Champions League this season. He's scored 5 goals in the competition this term. And the Liverpool side of that people's eyes will light up when they see this. Mo Salah to score and Liverpool to win, 23-10. Now 3-1. He scored again at the weekend, didn't he, Mo Salah? If you're looking for an alternative goal scorer, if you like, Firmino's got a good record in the competition so far this season. 6 goals and 3 assists in the Champions League this term. He's 6-4 if you want the bigger price in terms of the anytime goal scorers. But that's a big old tasty carrot angle there. And I'm going to go with that. Mo Salah to score and Liverpool to win 3-1.
Yeah, I like that. Now, another enhanced odds offer that caught my eye there. Mo Salah or Roberto Firmino to score first. 7-4 out to 9-4 if you want to Dutch the first goal scorers there. But it's a Liverpool win in that one, with Mo Salah to get on the score sheet.
13-10 is not a bad price either.
Yeah, decent price. Definitely so in a game that, if the best Liverpool turn up, they should really be winning. That's it's open to question whether they will, but hopefully they do. The other game on Wednesday night is a real mouth-watering affair. Real Madrid taking on Paris Saint-Germain. 6-4 for Real Madrid, 5-2 the draw, and PSG available at 9-5. It's a pretty miserable old season for Real Madrid domestically this term. They are struggling pretty much all but out of the title race, and they should still make the top four and qualify for the Champions League, but they still need to put the finishing touches on top four qualification, whereas it's been a bit of a stroll for PSG in Ligue 1, and they're well clear at the top of the table. Of course, both sides, though, probably measured by their success in this competition more so than they are domestically nowadays. So a massive match for both of them, featuring the two real powerhouses of European football, or two of the powerhouses.
Yeah, you said Real Madrid all but out of the title race. They're absolutely out of the title race. Yeah. They're 17 points behind Barcelona.
I wouldn't want to say it and then we have a crazy end to the season.
If Real Madrid win La Liga, I will do something crazy, but I don't know what.
Good. Looking forward to that.
Yeah.
I don't think they will either.
I was going to say something more, something obscene, but I don't think I want to. 17 points, they're not going to catch Barca. So therefore, their entire focus this season is 90%. Well, I was going to say entire focus. 90% is winning the Champions League. 10% is making sure they're back there next year.
Yes.
Finishing in the top four in La Liga, which they will do because they just have to. I can't see any way that they won't. And we know Zidane's got an unbelievable record in the Champions League as Real Madrid manager. They've won it a couple of times under him, of course. And in his time in charge, home form for Real Madrid in the knockout stages under Zinedine Zidane, 6 games, 6 wins. Superb.
Don't get much better than that. it physically can't get any better than that.
It actually can't. And PSG, whilst they've spent a lot of money in recent years, take out this season, I'm going to come on to that in a moment, they have been very disappointing when it comes to the knockout stages of the Champions League. They've only got as far as the quarterfinals for the last five seasons. Their best performance was actually in the semifinals back in 1995 before they got all this cash injection and fancy players coming in. So, largely, PSG have underperformed with the amount of money they've spent. Now,
and threw it away massively against Barca last year, which could potentially have left a mark on some of the players.
Yeah, but the difference this time around is they've got that front three, which is just unplayable at times. Neymar, Cavani and Mbappe are just terrifying. They've got the record number of goals in a group campaign with 25. They destroy teams in the group stages. And this is a different PSG. This is potentially the next big powerhouse of European football. And I think this game is very interesting for that reason. Real have a very good record against PSG, but you're comparing it against that disappointing PSG. Whereas now, can anybody stop this PSG if they turn up on form? That's the thing I'm trying to get my head around. Mbappe has scored six goals in six knockout games. He's an unbelievable talent. And then you've got the likes of Neymar, who's won the competition with Barcelona in the past, and Cavani, who at times I think is the most overrated striker in world football. And then he does something brilliant. Yeah. And I go, actually, he's pretty good. And it's just Real's form has been so disappointing domestically. Mm. I think we're seeing an end to the Real Madrid domination in Europe for the past few years. Ronaldo looks like he's, every season there's rumours of him moving on.
Yeah.
Benzema's getting older. Gareth Bale can't stay fit. I just wonder if this is where we see Real Madrid get knocked out disappointingly in the last 16 and PSG really kick on and become a real force in Europe. And at 9-5, I don't mind that price. I think that's tempting enough. Real do have a very good head-to-head record, like I say, but I just couldn't side with them with any kind of conviction this time around. So I think it's really tricky, this game. They only finished second in their group as well, Real Madrid, which, no disrespect to the group they were in, you'd have expected them to win that group. Although that hasn't been a problem for them in the past, because they finished second in the group last year and went on to win the competition. So you can see how I'm toing and froing with everything that I'm thinking here. It really is relatively tricky. You've got the obvious goal scorers, and if you don't want to put a result on it, then just look at the goal scorers and find the best price of the ones that are obvious. Ronaldo is the record scorer in the competition. He's 19-20 to score any time. He's scored in every single Champions League game this season. I mentioned the good record of young Kylian Mbappe in the knockout stages. He's 5-4. We all know about Neymar and Cavani. They're both 19-20. Neymar's going to take the penalties because he had a fight with Cavani and won. So you'd probably go with Neymar on that angle. He also is a former Barcelona player. He's going to want to go to the Bernabeu and make a mockery of them, isn't he? I think those are the angles where you don't have to. You've got Angel Di Maria in there as well. Obviously a former Real Madrid player. He might want to have a point to prove.
Yeah.
He's 21-10.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's probably best just doing something like that rather than. And then just sit back and watch the goals flow.
Yeah.
Do you think this is a game where you could absolutely guarantee overs, or do they both try and... Does their respect for each other kind of cancel that out? I think PSG can only play going forward.
Yeah.
So I think they'll force it to be an end-to-end game. So I think overs on the goals would be a play here as well.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I could definitely see that happening. Over 2.5 goals in the match, incidentally, is as short as 2-5. Over 3.5 is 11-10. If you want to play goals in this game. Interesting that PSG are the slight favourites to qualify out of the tie. Is that is that the way you see it? 4-6 to qualify for the next round, 11-10 for Real Madrid. I suppose sides who are home second often have a kind of advantage in this market. They know what is required after the first leg, etc.
Yeah, we've seen how good PSG are at home.
Yeah.
We've seen how many goals they score at home. If they get an away goal here, that price shortens again for me because...
Yeah.
Going back to the Parc des Princes, if they're even just in touching distance of Real Madrid with an away goal, you'd have to fancy them to go through the tie.
Yeah. Okay. Now they have 4-6 to get through.
PSG to win, by the way, in over 2.5 goals, 9-4. I'm going to go with that.
Okay. PSG to win the match in over 2.5 goals at 9-4 then. in that Real Madrid PSG game coming up on Wednesday. On to the action on Thursday, I'm going to take a look at the two Europa League games which feature British interest, beginning with Arsenal's trip to Sweden to take on Östersund, who are 6-1 in the betting, 130 for the draw, 4-9 for Arsenal. The betting skewed heavily in favour of Arsenal to get the better of Östersund, who are, of course, managed by former England under-21 player Graham Potter. Arsenal 4-9 here. Winning the Europa League at this stage looks like their best chance of getting back into the Champions League next year, Mark. They're sixth in the Premier League, currently 6 points off the top four. And you realistically, I wouldn't imagine that they'll be getting into the top four. So winning this competition has taken on a whole new importance for Arsenal. And obviously, it's a bit of European silverware for them as well. Take on an Östersund side who are technically in pre-season as well. They've played a cup game already, but the Swedish season doesn't get underway until, I think, April. So they could be a little bit ring-rusty here. And if they are, in a game where they're already a big price to get the job done, even if Arsenal potentially put out a weakened side, they should really be getting through here.
They absolutely should be getting through here. If they don't get through here, this is criminal. They're 1-12 to qualify, 4-9 to win the match. Östersund, I mean, they're only 16th in the Allsvenskan. I know there's been zero games played, but you can't possibly think of anything other than an Arsenal win here.
Yeah.
I know they tend to throw in a performance here and there where you just go, wow, Arsenal really are in trouble compared to what they used to be like. But like you say, this is a perfectly good chance for them to try and get into the Champions League next season. We saw Manchester United exploit that when they knew they weren't going to finish in the top four. Arsenal aren't going to get in the top four. They are 7 points behind Spurs at the moment. Chelsea's still above them as well. Both Spurs and Chelsea have more chance of finishing above Arsenal if you look at the grand scheme of things as well. And sorry, Arsenal fans, but I don't think they'll win this either, because you've got the likes of Milan, you've got the likes of Atletico Madrid. It's a tall order this time around. Manchester United had a bit of an easier passage through, I think, at that point. But they aren't going to slip up here, and they're going to have to try and win this competition, because Champions League football is something that's massively missing from them this time around. Mm. They brought in the likes of Aubameyang and Mkhitaryan and players like that, which I think will make them a better side in the long run. But even so, they could play their reserves here and they should still win the game.
Yeah.
It's trying to find any way to back Arsenal in this game and get some kind of value in it, because there's nothing else other than an Arsenal win.
And I could imagine them playing a weakened side as well, which would mean bets in terms of goal scorers. Probably best to wait for team news. Even though this sort of should be their primary focus now, it just won't play a full-strength team here. There's just almost no chance of that happening.
No.
I know they've got the League Cup as well, which they're obviously still involved in as well. But really, if I was an Arsenal fan, I'd want all eggs to be in this basket, really. But you just know that he's going to play some of the youth players, and it's not necessarily going to be the strongest Arsenal side, which obviously makes betting on goal scorers a little bit difficult coming into this one.
There is absolutely no reason why Arsene Wenger shouldn't play his first team here as well.
But he just won't, though, will he?
I know you're right, but if you look at their fixtures as well, they don't play again until next Thursday when they play the reverse
of
this.
Okay.
So it's not like he's got a game to worry about at the weekend, but you know he's going to make changes.
Yeah, definitely.
And then after that, they've got City in the League Cup. So I suppose he could think maybe play the stronger side in this leg, get it done and dusted, and then rest everybody at the Emirates.
Before the City game.
The City game. Maybe that's the way to go, in which case Arsenal are even more bankers than they should be, or than they are at the moment. It's just second-guessing who play. Arsenal, by the way, 6-5 on the double result.
Yeah.
That looks good to me. With a ring-rusty home side that will get caught out early on, I think.
Yeah, I mean, they won their cup game that they've played already at the weekend, getting the better of Trelleborg. But prior to that, their last competitive match was in this competition against Hertha back on the 7th of December. So they're definitely going to take a little bit of time, you would have thought, to wind up and get fully going. Obviously, the Allsvenskan finished for them in November. So I'd be with you here as well. I think Arsenal win, but it's difficult. Even with that double result, if Östersund keep it very tight in the first half, could frustrate Arsenal, could be goalless at half-time. But you're going to have to take a chance somewhere, I suppose, on this game with the prices the way they are.
Yeah. And if you look at the games that Arsenal played in the competition earlier on in the year, they played a weakened side, but it was still a side that we could recognise, if you like. So
yeah.
Welbeck played, Giroud played, he's not there anymore. Walcott played, he's not there anymore. Wilshere played, but he's now integral to the midfield in recent weeks. So I don't, you know,
yeah.
I just wonder who... Maybe Nikita, who burst on the scene, didn't he, with a couple of goals in the one of the cup competitions, wasn't it? He scored twice in...
He's 13-8 any time, by the way. 5-1 score first, 5-1 score last, 9-1, two or more.
He was in the League Cup, wasn't it, against Norwich? He scored a couple of goals there and rescued the tie for Arsenal.
Yes, in a game where Arsenal were taken to extra time, weren't they, by Norwich?
So maybe it's a chance for a player like him to score and get involved here if he's going to... You know, I suppose he won't want to risk injuries to the likes of Ozil and Mkhitaryan and such. Lacazette, I don't think he'll play. Why would you? You probably wouldn't risk him, would you? Alex Iwobi?
Yeah.
He's got ability, hasn't he? He's just struggling. He's on the periphery of the team a little bit. Those kind of players, maybe. But, yeah, you just got to try and find a way of getting odds against Arsenal or somewhere near. And I suppose the double result stands out in that front. Would you back them on the handicap? Because... Minus one is 8-5. Arsenal minus a goal.
That isn't too. I mean, there's a couple of options there. Arsenal minus a goal, 8-5. Arsenal have a double result, a 6-5. But yeah, it is very much about finding a pro Arsenal bet in that one. Should we take a look ahead to the final Europa League game then that's got a bit of British interest for us this week on Thursday? This is Celtic, who are in action against Zenit St. Petersburg. 8:05 kickoff. Celtic 7-4, 12-5 the draw. Zenit are priced up at 6-4. Competitively priced game this one. Celtic through to the knockout stages of this tournament, taking on a Zenit side which we know plenty about. We've had the opportunity to see Zenit in European football for the last few years. They've been kept busy with club friendlies, but no competitive game for Zenit since the 11th of December. Obviously, they've been on a bit of a winter break in Russia. They have played a whole host of friendlies during that period, and have actually been scoring loads of goals during that time as well. But they're never quite the same as a competitive match, are they? So that might play to Celtic's favour here, albeit they're the slight outsiders in a game that I thought was difficult to be too dogmatic one way or another.
Yeah. I quite like what they've done there, Zenit, with the friendlies, because they've played against sides that are pretty decent. They played Maribor, who played a bit of Champions League football. They played Red Star Belgrade, who are still in this competition. They have played... Sorry, I'm just waiting for my page to reload.
Slavia Prague. They've played Copenhagen, Slavia Bratislava, and one of the Chinese sides as well, Guangzhou Evergrande. So, but yeah, you're right.
You see what they're doing, can't you?
Yeah, they're not playing, you know, Russian third tier sides, are they? They are trying to keep themselves tuned up against reasonably good opposition.
And but a bit of a bold statement, perhaps, but I'd say the teams Zenit have been playing in friendlies, at times, those teams will be better than some of the teams that Celtic have been playing in the Scottish Premiership, because we know it's not the most competitive division. I'm just wondering if that's an absolutely ridiculous statement. Is that a ridiculous statement?
We've really entered new depths if we're debating whether the likes of Maribor and Red Star Belgrade, where they rank compared to Partick Thistle, Hearts, Hibs, Kilmarnock, the team Celtic have been played recently. But I take your point.
Hearts and Hibs, they would hold their own in the Europa League, I think. But would Kilmarnock, that's the question, would Partick Thistle? I don't know.
Perhaps not.
Just posing the question.
Is that a big price at 6-4?
Yeah, that's basically what it all boils down to.
Yeah.
But we obviously Celtic traditionally have this great record at home in European competition until this season, where they've been abject.
Yes.
But against PSG, Bayern and Anderlecht. The Anderlecht result stands out as being the poor one there, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So I would be worried, because Celtic at home in the Europa League is also not that good. That's surprising. So I think this myth of, well, not myth, but this big Celtic home form in Europe, big atmosphere, has just been diluted slightly recently.
Yeah.
And Zenit are pros at getting through the Europa League, They go relatively far in it every year.
Mm-hmm.
Got Champions League experience as well.
Yeah.
I just think they are probably the better side of the two at the moment, 6-4 for Zenit. But I don't know. You've got to step up from friendlies to playing competitive football again. Yeah. No matter who you're playing against in those friendlies, it's not going to have quite the intensity. And it's not going to have the intensity of a Celtic Park European night atmosphere as well. So
definitely not.
Maybe I wouldn't back Zenit at 6-4 after all.
I think it's potentially factored into the price, though. Zenit may be a little bit bigger than I expected them to be here at 6-4. It is quite a hard game to call, though. Do you side with Zenit or look at something else in the game?
You can see I find this one quite tricky.
Mm. And the draw is probably a big runner at 12-5 as well. But then I think Celtic will, the way Celtic will come into this game, I think they'll more be targeting this leg. Obviously, they're at home. It's easier. That goes without saying. I think they want to go to Russia with the lead. Obviously, they would. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, of course, they want to win the match.
Yes.
But if you see what I mean, they won't necessarily think, if we take a draw, it might not be that bad.
Yeah. Celtic can't afford to lose this game.
Yeah.
They can't afford to concede, because trying to overturn it in Russia, like you say, is going to be a mountain to climb.
Yeah.
So I'll go draw. I'll go 0-0 draw.
Okay. 12-5, the prize of the draw. A 0-0 draw is 11-1, by the way. So Mark sticking right down the middle in that Celtic versus Zenit match in the Europa League. I think that just about wraps up the previews for this week. Do you have a favourite bet, Mark?
Oh, it's not that one, put it that way.
Yeah, I think I know which is your least favourite.
Yeah, that is a very hard match to call, I think, that Celtic match.
Yeah.
I'm still not sure I've done the right thing in going for a draw, but yeah, that's very tricky. My favourite bet would be, I think, Liverpool goals in that game. So
okay.
In the Porto-Liverpool game, I think we'll see plenty of goals in that game. Liverpool winning over 2.5 goals, 11-5, but it was just the overs, wasn't it? We thought we were a pretty decent price over 3.5 goals, 2-1.
Yeah. Yeah, I could definitely see something like that happening when Liverpool take on Porto this week. Hope you enjoy all of the Champions League.
I chucked more salary in there, didn't I? Is the bet on the.
You thing. Did, yes.
So that's another angle. But I'm very much pro anything Liverpool and goals in that match.
Okay. Good stuff. Champions League and Europa League football coming up this week. Then you can tune into William Hill's In-Play Radio to listen to all the action, all the best in-play betting tips on William Hill's In-Play Radio. Check out the website as well for all of the betting ahead of the European action coming up this week. Mark, pleasure as always. Thank you for that and enjoy.
With over 6 million listens and thousands of subscribers each and every year, William Hill lead the way in sports betting podcasts. To subscribe, search William Hill in the iTunes Music Store or listen via audioboom.com. In-play radio from William Hill, your eyes on a world of sport.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.